Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
1-1 pitch. Fastball pulled and passed. Alvarez in toward the corner.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball at cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Adam, Scott, Heath, and Chris.
All right, here we go. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. It is Monday. It is July 15th. We are ready to rock and roll. I am Adam Azer with Heath Cummings and with Scott White. Welcome back from your weekend, guys. How's fantasy baseball treating you so far this week?
Okay. Well, this week.
This extended week.
But,
we're off
to a good start after the break, I would say. Although, I should point out that if you looked at my top 10 sleeper pitchers for the shortened week 16, if you happen to play in a league that uses the short week, I would have basically been better off not writing it because every single one of them had a bad start. I think except for my number 10 pick, Brett Anderson, he had a pretty good start. But yeah, that was one of those where you look back on it and think, man, I did people more harm than good with that one. Which is why, by the way, I'm not particularly fond of one start sleepers as a general rule.
Well, okay, but here's the thing about the one start sleepers for this previous 3 days. Like almost every pitcher that pitched, now that's an exaggeration, but many, many of the pitchers that pitched over the weekend are high-end pitchers. So it happened to be a really bad week for one-start streamers. The one guy I recommended was Danny Duffy. I saw his line at like 3 in the morning on Saturday morning, and I was like, oh, crap, I gave terrible advice. But it turns out he was actually pitching very well. And then he bruised his hand. No, this is true. This is a legit excuse. We are off the hook on Danny Duffy. He was pitching well. He hurt his hand. He stayed in the game. And he struggled. And then he finally was removed. But we are blaming the injury for that one, Scott. You are off the hook for Danny Duffy.
I'm not sure that's going to fly with people who picked him up for that one and only start. But
it's not our fault.
Just keep telling yourself that. Whatever helps you sleep at night.
Hey, Heath, I didn't hurt his hand.
I
got nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I won my only matchup that was a 3-day week. It's in one of Scott's leagues, so I'm happy. It was a good week. I'm still out of the playoffs in that league, but there's only 7 teams for 6 spots that have a chance, so hopefully I'll get one of them.
Okay, great. And I would have won almost every week if I had played the short week, but I'm not playing any short weeks, so I'm sure it will end up being a horrible decision on my part. Now we have hitters and pitchers to add. I don't know if we'll get the emails today, but we certainly will throughout the week. fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. I'm pretty excited about the pitcher that I'm looking to add. In fact, I'll get into it later. All right, let's start. Heath, who you got? Give me a hitter to add.
In the words of the immortal Lil Jon, get low, Nate Lowe, red hot over the weekend, 8 hits and. Listen, he is someone we were excited about at the beginning of the year. He came up earlier, got sent back down. I'm not so sure that he won't get sent back down again at some point. But for right now, I think you should add him and probably start him in most leagues.
Yeah, and he started against 3 straight lefties. And Nate Lowe is 29% owned. He's batting .299 with 5 home runs. He's been decent against lefties. He's 3-for-15 with 2 home runs. It's a .200 batting average, but... you know, it's not bad. And since being recalled on July 4th, batting .345 with 5 home runs. So that was actually the hitter I had in the hitter to add section. Scott, how about you? Nate Lowe for me and Heath. Anyone for you?
Yeah, actually, another Ray who I might even be more excited about than Nate Lowe, who I think could stick around. G-Man Choi is, you know, he just came back, but Lowe's been getting more consistent playing time. Mike Brasso, who is, as of now, only 9% owned in CBS Sports Leagues. He started, looks like 5 of the last 6 games for the Rays. Actually, you go back even further than that. He's been playing close to every day at either second or third base. And he homered 3 times over the weekend. This is a guy who I had never heard of before 4th of July weekend. That was when his name first came across my radar, Mike Brasso. But you look at what he did in the minors this year between AA and AAA. So it was actually all at AAA. He hit .317 with 15 home runs and a .998 OPS. In a way, I can kind of understand how he's 9% owned because he is such a no name. And who really needs another second and third baseman? You have to be in a pretty deep league too, probably. But I think you should pick him up if you have, if you play in one of those deep leagues where you have a need, because you know, playing time might get iffy with Brandon Lau coming off the IL next week, probably. But I do think there's room for all of them if the Rays want to go with a more consistent lineup. Maybe stick Lau at DH or something like that.
Okay. So that's weird. We have two Rays players that are widely available. Nate Lowe at 29% owned and Brasso at 9% owned, I think Scott said. So go ahead and think about these guys. I was thinking about dropping Jay Bruce for Nate Lowe. Would you guys do that? Unfortunately, Nate Lowe is already owned in the league in which I was going to do it. But hypothetically, would you drop Jay Bruce for Nate Lowe?
You can find Jay Bruce anywhere. Do it.
Okay, cool. Mm,
okay.
You would not.
Scott disagrees.
Scott says no.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, Jay Bruce has been, I think, more productive than people give him credit for, and especially since joining the Phillies. He's been, I don't know if he's slowed down recently, but yeah, I know his like point per game average is still very high.
He has slowed down quite a bit. But if you look at his fantasy point total, it's pretty bad. How about this?
Four games ago, he had a stretch of three homers in 2 days.
Yeah, great. That was pretty. That was it. So Jay Bruce, he has had three good fantasy weeks in terms of points all season long.
Yeah.
3 weeks all year with more than 17 fantasy points. That's weird. Because I thought he was a little bit more productive, but when I don't know, when you have him on your team, it's like, hey, you're not really that productive, dude. So anyway, let's go to the pitchers to add. I'm excited, guys. I found the fountain of youth, and I'm the youngest one on the podcast when Chris isn't here. Daniel Ponce de Leon is 28% owned, and all this guy does when he starts is pitch well. 6 2/3, 1 run, 7 strikeouts against Arizona on Friday. He has a 1.99 ERA. Ponce de Leon has 38 Ks to 11 walks and 31 2/3. Last year as a starter, he had a 2.79 ERA with 22 strikeouts and 19 1/3. He's got the Pirates this week on Wednesday. He's got every chance, Daniel Ponce de Leon, to stick in the Cardinals rotation. I added him in 3 leagues. Who else is excited about Ponce de Leon?
Yeah, normally when you get to be 27 years old and you haven't really accomplished anything in the major leagues, I'm pretty skeptical, but it seems like he may have discovered something here. Strikeouts are up.
Very good.
It's mildly exciting. I would rather add, like, if you're asking me for one pitcher to add and we're using the 70% cutoff, I would much rather add Dylan Cease than I would Daniel Ponce de Leon. Cease still 68% owned. But I think that's a fine name to throw out there.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that.
So Waka's going back to the bullpen. Is that how they're keeping Ponce?
That's what it seems for now. I mean, look, if he's terrible on Wednesday, things could change. But he's clearly a better fantasy option than Michael Wacha.
They have enough bad pitchers to do this, yeah.
Yeah, well, Wacha's the one, I believe, right now going back to the bullpen. So that's my guy right now. He went up 20%. He went up from like 8% to 28% over the weekend once the news came out, and he had that good start on Friday. Anyway, Scott, who are you picking up? Which pitcher are you going for?
Well, first I want to point out this stat on Jay Bruce, because he has averaged more fantasy points per game this year than Jose Abreu, Daniel Vogelbach, Trey Mancini.
He's not playing enough.
Some first baseman that we think of as must start. So
he's not playing enough.
I know he wasn't playing regularly in Seattle, but he has been for Philadelphia. So I'm still, I don't know.
He sat against the most recent lefty they faced. He doesn't face every lefty.
Not the one before that. Not the one before that. You know, come on.
But the one before that and the one before that. He probably sits against 50% of lefties. They hadn't faced a lot of lefties lately. I don't know. Look, I mean, the thing is, I'm just, if you go to his player page, and this is a tool that I actually use a lot. CBSSports.com/MLB/players. You go to a guy's player page, you can see his fantasy points by week. It's bad. It's just not usable. If you're in a daily league, maybe it's different. But I don't know what to say to that points per game thing. It's a pretty interesting stat. But he's hitting .235, well, and he just hasn't been that productive.
I will say, like, over the last 28 days, he's the number 25 first baseman in fantasy.
In points. What is he in Roto? Maybe he's better in that format. I'll look for that.
I would say he's probably a little better, but like for the season, he's right around number 20 to 25 in points.
It's not bad at first base. I mean, consider who you have ranked in the 20 to 25 range at first base. It's guys
he's
probably, I mean, Trey Mancini's probably pretty close to 20th for me.
He's 23rd. He's 23rd in Roto over the last 28 days. Look, yeah, no, that's fine. Top 20. But the question was not, is Jay Bruce bad? The question was, would you drop him for Nate Lowe? And that's where we split. Yeah. He said yes. Scott said no. I was going to do it. Whatever. Scott, who's the pitcher to add?
So my favorite two-start sleeper this week is Michael Pineda, who since coming back from the IL in May, I believe it was, he's throwing harder. And his changeup has been more effective. Changeup's always been the third pitch he's struggled to develop, but probably getting more differentiation on the fastball has helped. And his numbers since then are pretty good. I mean, good enough that even if it wasn't a two-start week, I'd probably consider adding Michael Pineda. He's up to 74% ownership. Got picked up in a lot of leagues over the weekend, but I was contributing to that.
Yep.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, Pineda, Mets and A's this week. We didn't really talk about two-star pitchers at all, actually, on Friday. We usually do, but rotations were a little iffy, and a lot of people were playing a long week, so Pineda's a good one to add. Maybe we should take a look at it now. Dylan Cease at Kansas City and at Tampa Bay. Is that your guy, Heath?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. Anyone else? How are we feeling about Alex Young? Kind of a rough schedule. At Texas and home against Milwaukee.
No, thank you.
Still seems kind of gimmicky to me. His numbers were so bad at AAA. Just the fact that he leads with a breaking ball, I think, is throwing major league hitters for a loop the first couple outings here. But I don't expect it to last.
How about Bryce Wilson at 13% owned at Milwaukee and home against Washington?
We had a choice in the For the People League, which is, we're in a major battle with you guys for the last spot in the playoffs, I believe.
Yeah.
And we have three mediocre Braves starting pitchers on our team in that league. And we sat him for Dallas Keuchel and Max Fried. So I'm not starting him in a 16-team league.
Bryce Wilson. Okay. Well, right now, Scam is at 5-4-1 for the week. Kreeth is at 5-5. So you better watch out, my man.
And hey, we're up, like, I think we're up 3 or 4 games on you for the 7 seed. So
exciting. How many teams make the playoffs? 7?
7.
Okay, out of 16. It's very strange, by the way. Scott decided that we're punting saves, which hasn't really worked out because Wade Davis is actually having a very good week, of course. But Scott decided, we have Iglesias.
Well, when your closers are.
Do you have any relievers at all?
We have Wade Davis and Raisel Iglesias, but we just sat them.
No, I mean starting.
Yes.
Yeah, we have two relievers starting. We have Gallegos and Sam Dyson. That was a good call because he gave up 4 runs in an outing this week, I know.
That's the problem, is a lot of times I feel like when you decide you're punting saves, you end up punting ERA and whip as well.
Well, that's like whenever I go, and this is why I've had a hard time going with the reliever heavy strategy, because when I find a reliever, okay, this guy has good numbers. Like, the numbers quickly turn very bad. Like, I know that happened to me in one league with Trey Wingenter, the Padres reliever.
You know who,
like,
you guys could use? You could use Taylor Rogers.
Yes. Of course we could use Taylor Rogers. you know who else we could use? Denelson Lamet. Denelson Lamet is a one-start pitcher this week. He's at Miami, and I think there's a good possibility for a good start. He has made 2 starts so far. Denelson Lamet has gone 5 innings in both of them. He gave up 4 runs against Atlanta in his most recent start, 3 of them in the first inning. He gave up 3 runs at the Dodgers in his first start, but he struck out 7 in both starts. And look, Denelson Lamet has faced arguably the top 2 lineups in the National League in his first 2 starts, the Dodgers and the Braves. I do think innings are going to be an issue. I think you're going to get a lot of five-inning starts, but I think you can do worse than Denelson Lamet at Miami this week. He is 66% owned. Today's sponsor, if you want to go see Denelson Lamet at the Marlins, you know the $10 discount you could get on SeatGeek. I don't like you could probably buy $5 seats for that game. So I don't know that you need it for that game, but I am going to probably go to a Yankees Rays game this week and I'm going to use SeatGeek. And if you haven't used it, use the promo code FANTASY for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Fantasy. You'll hear more about SeatGeek in a little bit. Golf. We love golf. I don't actually love golf, but a lot of you love golf. And the fourth and final golf. Heath loves golf. You love golf, right? Heath.
Love hate relationship.
Okay. The fourth and final golf major of 2019 is here, and the First Cut podcast is set to break down the Open Championship all week long. That's the First Cut podcast with Kyle Porter, Mark Immelman, and Chip Patterson. They'll have you covered with a preview podcast on Tuesday and post-round analysis after round two on Friday and following the final round on Sunday. So subscribe to the First Cut podcast for coverage at or coverage of Royal Portrush. I hope I said that correctly, all week. You guys watched Wimbledon yesterday? It was pretty sweet.
I did not.
Tennis is mega boring. Tennis makes baseball look fun, but it was really good. It was excellent. All right, the big news. Perhaps the two best players in fantasy are both injured right now. Max Scherzer's on the IL with a back strain, and Mike Trout's going to have an MRI on his calf. They keep saying it's precautionary. It's no big deal. But he's having an MRI.
I want to apologize to all of the listeners and Mike Trout owners out there.
Is this it?
I about a week and a half ago, I wasn't going to be on the podcast for a couple of days, so I moved Mike Trout to number one overall for the rest of the season, all but ensuring he would suffer an injury and Mookie Betts would be better than him rest of year.
I thought about you with this injury. That was one of your arguments, I think, of putting Betts ahead of Trout. He's been a little injury prone. But
yeah,
hopefully he can avoid the IL.
I was on the podcast Friday with a couple chuckleheads named Adam Azer. And who was that other guy? Adam
Dane Martinez,
Dane Martinez. And they were both saying Charlie Blackman. They'd take Charlie Blackman over Mookie Betts. And how do you feel about that?
Categories league, not points, categories league, Blackman.
I don't think I agree, but I don't think it's outrageous. Blackman's been awesome and gets to play half his games of course.
This Coors Field thing.
What a big reaction he disappointed me.
No, this Coors Field thing is crazy. I mean, these games are insane. I want as many Rockies as I can get. I understand that they are terrible on the road, but you know, Blackman's not terrible on the road. Well, actually, I feel like he kind of has been terrible on the road. I'd still start him, but no, the Coors Field is just ridiculous. All right, thank you, Heath, for not being too against it. Anyway, Scherzer, I think should be back soon, right? Is there a chance he starts this week? With Scherzer?
I'm not led to believe it's a long injury this week. I'm not sure. I haven't done the math on the days. You can tell I'm not a Max Scherzer owner.
Well, he's definitely eligible to come off this week because, you know, we had the All-Star break.
He could return as soon as Saturday. So that's a risk when you're setting your lineups. It may be worth it because a waiver wire pitcher is liable to do zero for you anyway, negative. Make a negative impact. But if you have, like, you know, Michael Pineda on the waiver wire, then maybe you start him over Scherzer.
Giancarlo Stanton is not close to returning to baseball activities. Brett Gardner has been hitting pretty well recently for the Yankees. If you need a hot hand play in a deeper league. Luis Severino needs 6 or more weeks to return, and Severino could come back as a reliever. So they want him to be a starter, but I think you should have pretty low expectations for Severino if you're still stashing him. Tampa Bay sent Brendan McKay to the minors after a very good start, 5 scoreless innings with 7 strikeouts against the Orioles. But McKay will be back, right?
At some point.
I don't see why he wouldn't come back. They do have a 7-day week, so if they considered him part of the rotation, you know, it's not like he's the fifth guy and they're skipping him.
See, he was up only for the doubleheader, right?
Yeah, he was the 26th.
And he
man.
Had been sent down like 6 days before that. So I wonder if the 10-day clock or the 15-day clock goes back to the first time that he was sent down. Because he was called up as a 26th man.
Yeah,
he was
the 26th man.
It doesn't count.
I wonder if they can send him back down and then pull him back up in like 5 days.
They can. He can rejoin the team over the weekend. And I think there's a good chance he does. So
yeah,
I
it's
just
probably
don't know.
Just a move to get a reliever or
They're
whatever.
Just playing chess.
Yeah.
He's 82% owned.
The rest of us are playing checker.
I hope he pitches more than five innings, you know, but I don't know that he will. I'm going to be a lot of pitchers like that.
I don't think he will often.
McKay, Lamette, you just hope for five good innings. Other news. Let's see. Brad Peacock had a setback with his shoulder, so that's a shame. He was supposed to pitch today. Not going to happen. Corey Kluber could throw a bullpen session within weeks. Eliezer Hernandez pitched out of the bullpen. Do we have anything definitive on the Marlins rotation?
Yeah, I saw Craig Mish reporting Hernandez was going to the bullpen. So that's kind of unfortunate because he had probably been, at least in terms of ratios, I guess Yamamoto has a claim, but Hernandez had been better than Zach Allen. So that was an interesting decision. His ownership never rose above 20, I think, in CBS Sports Leagues, though.
Kind of sneaky news. I saw a quote from Robinson Cano. He homered in two straight games over the weekend against the Marlins in Miami. And he said, I think after the first home run, he said, I don't want to use it as an excuse, but I've been hit by a pitch on the hand twice this year, and my hand finally feels good. So it's something to keep an eye on or hand on. And Robinson
Cano, maybe he should use it as an excuse.
He was using it as an excuse. No. He was just saying.
Yeah, it sounds like he is, for sure.
Yeah, he 100% was. I'll find the quote. Ken Giles has elbow soreness, and I think it's pretty clear that Daniel Hudson's going to be the closer if and when Ken Giles gets traded, assuming, you know, Ken Giles doesn't ruin his trade value with elbow soreness. And Carlos Correa is now on the 60-day IL, so he cannot come back until July 26th. Guys, we had two trades over the weekend. Boston acquiring Andrew Cashner and Oakland acquiring Homer Bailey. And what, if anything, did that do for you guys in terms of Cashner and Bailey?
Nope.
I don't think either are very good still. Obviously, their circumstances have changed, especially Cashner. He's a two-star pitcher with a very good team now. But yeah, I mean, he has a decent ERA, but I don't really think the numbers back it up.
Okay. And less important news, Heath, why don't you go ahead and read this so I can find the Robinson Cano quote.
Wilson Contreras has a foot soreness.
Is that what I wrote?
Byron
no,
Buxton
I did not write that. I wrote
with
foot
some
soreness.
Injuries.
Yes.
Eddie Rosario could be back Tuesday. Jesse Winker left with an injury. Danny Duffy bruised his hand.
That's right.
Dylan Bundy.
Oh, I did write that.
Wow.
I did
now,
put a
the
D
thing
in
is,
that.
Like, these notes that you gave me, I feel like could have just been something that you forgot to take out of notes from a show a month ago. Every single one of these things sounds like something that happens regularly.
Sep Contreras with the foot soreness. He played only one of three games. But yeah, the rest of it could be. Here's the quote from Cano. I don't know if you've noticed. Why are you doing this, computer? I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been hit twice in the hand this year, and that's not an excuse. Even if it's bothering me, I would never say anything. I always like to go out and be able to contribute anyway, anyhow. I would never use an excuse like that, but right now my hand feels really good.
That's such
an excuse. That's so funny.
Wow.
But it's interesting, right?
It would have been more helpful if he used that as an excuse weeks ago, and we could have been like, all right, well, we just won't play Robinson Cano until he says his hand feels better. And maybe, you know, maybe it's not, it's just a coincidence. You know, it may not fully explain it just because he homered twice in two games, but it may.
It might.
You know, I had dropped Cano, I think, at every league I had him. I don't know what his ownership is down to.
I think it's about 75%.
I think I'd be more inclined to add like Mike Brasso right now, though, than Cano.
Oh, but you wouldn't drop Jay Bruce. I'm just kidding.
Well, come on, Jay Bruce has 24 home runs.
He's a top 50 outfielder, Adam. You can't drop top 50 outfielders just here and there.
Cano is 57% owned. Wow, he's really down. You know what? Look, I think it's an interesting note. It's an interesting quote. It's a great excuse by Robinson Cano, and maybe it's kind of stuff makes a difference. We haven't really talked enough about players to add and drop, so let's get to that. But just other cool stuff. The Angels threw a combined no-hitter honoring Tyler Skaggs. It was really special, so that was amazing. And Tampa Bay nearly threw a combined perfect game, but Hanser Alberto broke it up with an incredibly weak base hit near the shift. A.J. Pollock homered yesterday. Might be excited about it. It was a three-run homer, I believe. It was 326 feet, I believe. It was about the shortest home run you can get in baseball near that stupid, pesky pole. in right field. And Fernando Tatis had an awesome slide. Look it up on CBSSports.com. When we come back, we'll talk about the most added list. We'll be right back on Fantasy Baseball Today.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Most added players in CBS Sports Leagues. I think Ponce de Leon's number one. He is. And he's 30% owned now. It's just climbing. Alex Young, we already talked about. Probably want to avoid that. 39% owned. Danny Salazar, 40% owned. So Chris is pretty interested in Danny Salazar. Heath, how about you?
I'm trying to see if I can rekindle my fondness for Danny Salazar. We've fought over him a lot. I was always on his side. I would love it if he came back. But we're in July. He's not thrown for, 2 years, and he's up to an inning and two-thirds. It's going to take a little more than this before I'm ready to add him.
Okay. You really just don't sound enthused at all. By the way, when you said you had to rekindle, I was like, is this a pun? Because Heath always makes puns. It's like, does Danny Salazar like have a Kindle or something like that? I didn't know, but I don't think it was a pun at all. Scott,
no,
you're looking at the most added list. Is there anyone there that, you know, that we haven't talked about that you are excited about? Because I'm not really feeling it right now.
I mean, Roberto Perez seems underowned, especially considering he's a catcher. He plays very regularly for the Indians, more regularly than the average starting catcher. And he has hit for good power this year. I think his OPS is mid-800s. He's on about a 28-homer pace. Probably deserves to be more owned than he is.
Yeah, and I would say, like, we've talked about him plenty, but we haven't talked about him today. Danny Jansen, in my opinion, is still under owned at 67%. It just looks like he's figured it out. It took a long time, but he's been awesome for just about a month now.
Suddenly, it feels like there's a catcher surplus.
Yes.
Because the thing about catcher is nobody's going to roster two, unless it's a two-catcher league, obviously. Nobody's going to roster two catchers because nobody would ever start a catcher at utility or any other position where they might be eligible. So there doesn't need to be that many for the spot to be completely filled in a league. And we may be getting to the point now where there's more than enough decent options to go around.
It is almost certainly no big deal, but Danny Jansen did have a minor injury over the weekend. He sat on Saturday. He played again on Sunday. So it's probably 100% fine, but just something to check. Check the player news if you're picking up Danny Jansen. Brett Gardner has a 1,200 OPS in his last 11 games with 4 home runs and 2 steals. So I'm not really moved by it. It's not like he's leading off or anything like that. And he only has 8 steals on the season. But what's his ownership percentage? 52%? Yeah, I don't know. That's approaching shallower leagues. Probably not. But yeah, what do you guys think about Gardner?
He does play for the Yankees.
He's a fine fifth outfielder choice.
I think they should retire his number. What do you think?
Probably not, because they're going to run out of numbers if they start retiring the Brett Gardners of the world. But I am surprised that he has over 40 career WAR on Baseball Reference. I mean, that's not Hall of Fame level, but I would put Hall of Fame level as like 60, so he's like two-thirds of a Hall of Famer, Brett Gardner.
There you go.
And that's kind of surprising.
Liam Hendricks is 76% owned. He's on the most added list. And Blake Treinen was bad again over the weekend. Hendricks has a solid grip on that job. Ramon Laureano, we haven't talked about him. He's 72% owned. Heath, as the guy who loved Ramon Laureano, are you surprised at how good he has been?
No, this is pretty much exactly what I told everyone he was going to do. Yes. Yeah, I'm a little surprised. But again, he's basically for his career now a 2020 guy with a 270 average. And I think that's what we talked about him being a couple of months ago. So I don't know that we've seen the very best of Ramon Laureano. And I think he should be owned in more than 72% of leagues. I'd be starting him just about everywhere.
Emilio Pagan got a one-out save over the weekend for the Rays. He's 34% owned. I mean, they had a three-headed monster. Now it's down to two. But Scott, who do you think leads the Rays in saves for the next like 5 weeks or so?
This is not a guess being made with much confidence, but I have a feeling it's going to be Pagan because he's been so much better than Castillo now. The way as Castillo was getting roughed up pretty regularly before going on the IL, Diego Castillo was, and his season-long numbers don't look that good anymore. Pagan has been a better pitcher, but at the same time, I mean, how much of those struggles were tied to the injury, I can't say. The Rays have a better idea than I would. So, and just because they're the Rays and have been going this committee route all season, it wouldn't surprise me if they continued to. But I feel like Pagan deserves the chance to be the guy.
Well, if the Rays viewed their best pitcher as the person they should use in the ninth inning, and I think they, maybe more than any other team in baseball, don't. So the fact that, like, I feel like it's more likely if it's the eighth inning and it's a tight spot that they bring Pagan in because he's more likely to get out of it. And so I would call it a coin flip, but I have added Diego Castillo in a league or two.
Okay. So it's more or less going to do it for the most added list here. Yeah, we're done. Sale fail. Let's talk about Chris Sale. A lot of high-end starting pitchers over the weekend, and most of them did pretty well, I'd say. But Chris Sale did not. 4 2/3, 7 hits, 5 runs, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. He is now 3-9 with a 4.27 ERA, 160 strikeouts to 27 walks, and 111 2/3. That's amazing. But in his last 4 starts, Chris Sale has a 7.59 ERA. Yeah, I mean, it's been a bad season and another bad stretch. Basically, it's like one terrible stretch to start the season, then 11 amazing Cy Young caliber starts, and now 4 bad starts in a row for Sale. So, Scott, where are we on Chris Sale?
I still think he's a good pitcher, and if you are approaching him as he's not, I think it's going to be a big mistake because, 11 Cy Young caliber starts, like, bad pitchers don't do that. Maybe bad pitchers can have an 11-start stretch with a low ERA, but not where they go 10, 14, 17, 10, 5, 10, 12, 10, 8, 10 with their strikeouts. That's just absurd. And even in this start, I'll point out that his average exit velocity was 81.5, which is, his season average is 88.2. The league average is like 87. Like 81.5 is really low. He was not getting hit hard in this start.
Interesting. I'd love to buy. I would definitely buy low. Definitely.
I would definitely buy low. I think he's definitely been unlucky. I do think if you look at the peripherals, they show you a worse pitcher than he has been the last couple of years in Boston. He's been a sub ERA, 3 ERA guy in 2017 and 2018 in Boston. His FIP, XFIP, Sierra are not below 3. And I mean, last year his FIP was 1.98. So I think there's reason to think he's not quite as good as he's been the last 2 years. And there's reason to be a little bit concerned about the innings. He's well below 6 innings per start so far this season. He was below 6 innings per start last season.
Yeah.
I think there's reason to worry about him being top 5 the rest of the way, but I feel good about him being top 12.
One other thing. It's well documented now, and it's the reason why the Red Sox approached Sale this year the way they did. August and September are his worst months. He usually is like superhuman.
Maybe he's gonna.
First...
Maybe this is going to work, and he's going to peak in August now.
It could be, but... I just want to bring that up because, you know, usually he's like superhuman for 4 months and then he's like fine, go like above average, must start, but not Cy Young caliber for the last 2 months. They're trying to avoid that this year. I don't know. So would you rather have Sale or Zach Greinke?
I'd rather have Sale. And I want to mention, since Heath was kind of comparing Sale to Sale of years past, you know, the xFIP Sale has this year, 310, is fifth in baseball. He's the fifth lowest xFIP in baseball. I mean, Heath was saying he still views him as a top 10, so it's not that big of a disagreement, but just trying to add a little context there.
Yeah, in a points league, I think I'd rather have Greinke.
Okay. I want to look up Chris Sale's ERA by month. Here we go. Ready? Career ERA. March and April, it's 322. May, 269. June, 256. July, 268. August, 316. September and October, not including the playoffs, so basically September, 378. And we're moving on. Hitters. Are there any other hitters you guys wanted to talk about? Can we talk about Yuli Gurriel? Six hits and two home runs over the weekend, continuing this amazing hot streak. Is anybody buying into Yuli Gurriel?
I think he probably is a better power hitter because his ground ball rate is way down this year, and that's been true since the beginning. What really happened here this month is home run to fly ball rate has just gone through the, I mean, he's hit a lot of home runs. I don't think that's surprising to say that's gone through the roof. But it was way down earlier this year, his home run to fly ball rate. He was underachieving in that regard. So I think he was probably, I mean, he's obviously overperforming now. But I think he was underperforming earlier. And particularly in points leagues where you're not losing points for the strikeouts, he's starting to get to be a pretty interesting option.
Max Kepler homered in five straight at-bats versus Trevor Bauer over two starts. That's incredible. Kevin Newman. I'm going to say some names, and you tell me your interest in picking them up. Pirates infielder Kevin Newman. Unfortunately, he's not leading off every day. He's only leading off against lefties at the moment because Adam Frazier's leading off. But what's your interest level in picking up Kevin Newman?
When I wrote about rookies and how, like, ranking the rookies the rest of the season, I had a lot of Pirates fans get upset about having Brian Reynolds ranked too low because he was hitting, like, 360. I'm more excited about Kevin Newman's potential batting average than I am Brian Reynolds. I do think at 52% ownership, he is very close to as owned as he should be, so I'm not particularly interested in picking him up.
How about, Scott, Danny Santana? I just feel like if they wanted to play Danny Santana every day, they easily could for Texas. He's batting 309 with 11 home runs and 11 steals as a part-time player. It just keeps producing. Danny Santana, 35% own.
Yeah, they could. They are kind of feeling a pinch there because, you know, of course, Gallo's back, and so finding Willie Calhoun at bats has been a challenge. But, you know, Asdrubal Cabrera is not that good. Ronald Guzman, I think, is just plain bad. So they could find more at bats for Santana. I'm hesitant to think they're going to.
Jason Hayward, 383 batting average with five home runs in his last 16 games.
You know, thanks.
He's been I feel like he's been better than we give him credit for this year. I mean, he obviously isn't like Jason Hayward at his best like we saw during some of those Atlanta years. Right. But, I mean, he's become an okay power source again for a guy with great plate discipline. I think he's at least good enough to consider in a fifth outfielder spot in a roto league. And, you know, head-to-head lineups are so small that it's hard for him to fit in there. But I don't think you're embarrassing yourself if you have to start Jason Hayward, especially if it's a week where he faces a bunch of righties.
I don't really buy the increase in power. He's got an 18% home run to fly ball ratio. His career is 11.2. It was 6.2 last year. The hard hit rate per Fangraphs is up a little bit. I think it's like 34%, but it's still below average based on the current environment. And that 18% home run to fly ball ratio does not look real.
Why does it not look real? Yeah. Because he's probably had that before.
It's nearly double what he's been for the last 3 or 4 years, and there's not been a corresponding increase in how hard he's hitting the ball to make me think that's real.
Okay, but he is hitting the ball a lot harder. Well, he's hitting the ball harder.
He's hitting the ball a little harder. Last year he had a 30% hard contact rate. He's at 34% this year. That's an increase.
The 2 years before that was 25%, 26%.
Look at the soft contact rate, how much lower the soft contact rate is.
That has gone down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, 18% is probably a little high. His career high previously was 17%, but usually it was like 13, 12, and then got to the Cubs and really bad. Okay, fine. But, you know, it's interesting. Like, he's having, Jason Hayward is having a nice little year. 275, 359, 474. That's not bad. And
if he was having this year in 2015, right, I probably would have said something different.
Right. It's just not, like, again, go to his player page and look at his fantasy points. And he's strictly a deep league guy. Well, based on what he's
60
done.
60 outfielder?
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to count.
Okay. You do points and I'll do roto. Meanwhile, okay. Scott, you see my notes on the bullpen? In the notes I sent you?
Your notes on the bullpen. The Let me section find your notes. Yes, I see the notes on the bullpen.
All right. While we count Jason Hayward and where he ranks at outfield, why don't you talk about any bullpen developments that might have been interesting from over the weekend?
Okay, so AJ Minter got a save for the Braves on Sunday. Luke Jackson worked on both Friday and Saturday and was pretty shaky, as he's been for a while now. Problem is, I don't think AJ Minter has been much better since returning from the minors. Didn't have a strikeout and recording the save Sunday, so I'm not sure any change is happening there. I still think Jackson's the Braves' best option. Hector Neris has been shaky himself, a blown save on Saturday, and has been giving up some home runs lately.
He bounced back nicely on Sunday, struck out the side, and got the win. I was getting a little worried about Hector Neris.
I'm still a little worried about Hector Neris.
I don't know.
And the thing is, if it's not him closing, it's probably a committee, because the Phillies were kind of leading the charge before they settled on Neris.
Yeah.
So we all should be rooting for Hector Neris.
Unless David Robertson comes back in a few weeks and they give him the job. But you're right. Let's root for Neris.
I think so. Emilio Pagan, we talked about him. He got the save Sunday. And I think he's probably the first choice, but that's not saying much given the way the Rays have handled their bullpen. Daniel Hudson, Adam mentioned that he would probably be the choice to replace Ken Giles if he goes on the IL or if he gets traded. Not that that's particularly exciting, especially since the Blue Jays have had a hard enough time giving Giles save chances, but Daniel Hudson, name to know in leagues where saves are scarce.
All right, well done, Scott.
You guys done counting?
Yeah.
I will point out that Hayward has averaged more fantasy points per game this year than Ramon Laureano. So whatever that's worth.
I owe him an apology. He is a top 40 outfielder in points, and he has been better than Jay Bruce this season. I apologize, Jason Hayward.
Well, look, plate discipline is a big deal in points leagues. He has 40 walks and 61 strikeouts. He is 46th in roto at outfield, just behind Nomar Mazara and Framil Reyes, just ahead of
him. He's no Alex Gordon or Cole Calhoun, but he has been on a per game basis. That's surprising because he's not scored as many fantasy points as Ramon Laureano this year.
He's played 8 fewer games.
He should play more.
He should, right? Wow. Let's talk about some starting pitchers. Yeah, right now. Here we go. I was going to take a break, but let's just keep going. Studs being studs, part one. These guys were studs over the weekend. Noah Syndergaard at Miami. Aaron Nola, he did walk 4, but he continues a really hot start. 0.76 ERA in his last 5 starts, a hot stretch for Aaron Nola. Mike Soroka had one of his best starts, 7 scoreless with 9 strikeouts. Padres strike out a lot, but Soroka got him 9 times. 9 times. Domingo Herman. I'm telling you, this guy's really good. Domingo Herman. Syndergaard, Nola, Soroka, Herman. Anything on those fellas?
So Syndergaard, and he talked about how his slider was the best it's been all year. The numbers back that up. He had a season-high 20 swinging strikes, and a lot of it had to do with that slider. If that's a pitch he rediscovers, then hopefully that can get his season back on track the way Aaron Nola's gotten his season on track. That's probably the biggest observation I have. Soroka, I mean, if he struck out 9 in 7 innings, if he can do that more consistently, then I think we'd be reluctant to call him a sell high, as we were calling him last week.
I was just going to say that the market for Mike Soroka and Domingo Herman just got a little better. I would be trying to sell both.
I understand why Soroka. You made the case for Soroka. You know, you don't expect the strike. He's got 82 strikeouts and 96 and a third. He's ground ball pitcher, blah, blah, blah. Can we talk about Herman? Because he had three bad starts during which he was pitching with a hip injury. Every other start, 2.27 ERA, rest of season. You take those three bad starts out for Herman, which, by the way, is slightly higher than Mike Soroka's 2.24 ERA. So, you know, what is it about them that's saying so high?
Yeah, I was actually about to ask Keith what his gripe was with Herman, because I can understand Soroka as a sell high too, but Herman seems pretty good to me.
I worry about Herman's innings on a per start basis. I worry about Herman's innings for the over the how he finishes the season. His peripherals show him as more of a, like, if you're saying, is he a mid 3 ERA pitcher? I think he is. But I do think there are people out there who will say, man, he was so good at the beginning of the year. He's been so good lately. This guy might be a borderline ace. And I want to try to take advantage of that because I don't believe that he is. I think he's a 5 to 6 inning starting pitcher with decent strikeout numbers and not a lot of innings.
I think that makes perfect sense. I mean, look, let's just be obvious for a second. If you could trade Domingo Herman for Chris Sale, you do it. If you can trade Domingo Herman and Michael Conforto for Chris Sale, you do it. You know, I get that.
Matt Boyd. I'd trade him for Matt Boyd. I'd trade him for Clevenger or Wheeler.
I do think the innings are interesting. I mean, they talked about, like, if the Yankees acquire another starting pitcher, would that bump Herman? That was written just in an article. Would that bump Herman out of the rotation? That was an insane thought to me, but he is coming up on last year's innings total. Like, he's one start away from last year's innings total. So I could see him missing starts at some point.
I saw a Yankees beat writer refer to him earlier this year as the team's de facto ace. But I guess if innings are the thought there about potentially bumping him, maybe that would be the case. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, if you can aim that high with Herman, I wasn't thinking that high. I was thinking, you know, a little behind Zach Wheeler in terms of where I rank him. But sure, if you want to aim high for him, the fact he has an 11-2 record, I think, helps in a lot of ways.
I do think he's going to be.
I think you could possibly trade him for Herman Marquez in some leagues.
I would not. I'd rather have Herman.
Right.
I would do Herman trade.
I'd rather have Herman Marquez.
I'd rather have Domingo Herman than Herman Marquez.
That's wrong.
Is it? I mean, I'd rather have a guy I could start all the time than a guy I could only start to have his starts. And Herman probably has a better K rate.
Break the tie.
Is it better K rate?
I would start Marquez. I mean, I would rather have Marquez.
That's interesting. Okay. More studs being studs. Part two. Oh, how about this? Let me get the exact stat up. This is the mesmerizing stat. John Gray versus Sonny Gray on Friday. They both did great. We'll talk about Sonny Gray in a second. But studs being studs, part two. John Gray, Jose Quintana, Robbie Ray, who has 6 quality starts in his last 8 starts after 1 quality start in his first 10 starts. Robbie Ray is on fire. And Yu Darvish had a great start against Pittsburgh. 6 scoreless with 1 walk and 8 strikeouts. And that's 6 straight starts with 2 or fewer walks. So, be a lot of home runs, but the walks are down for Darvish. John Gray, Jose Quintana, Robbie Ray, Yu Darvish. What are your thoughts on that group of 4?
Is John Gray the Rockies' ace again?
Who else would it? Oh, Herman Marquez.
Herman Marquez?
Probably.
I mean, I'd rather have Marquez. But John Gray has certainly gotten his season back on track here. I was disappointed that not more was made of the Gray-Gray matchup.
It was
on Friday.
That's what I was trying to get, because it was historic. It was like, it was the first matchup ever of Gray versus Gray, and it was the first matchup. Let me just find what it was, because it's pretty cool. But please talk about this group as I scan.
Yeah. Robbie Ray, his last 8 starts, his BB per 9 is down to 3.9, which is not a good rate. But for Robbie Ray, the past 2 seasons, 3.9 per 9. I mean, you'll take that. That's how he can end up having so many quality starts. And with as many bats as he misses, you know, if there's any pitcher who can survive 4 walks per 9, it's him. It's just when he gets into 5 walks per 9 territory that I think you run into issues. Yu Darvish was very impressive in this latest start. And I know I've gone back and forth on him so many times. I think I'm about to the point where I probably just want to leave him in my lineup. Last eight starts at 3.94 ERA, whip below one, with more than a strikeout per inning. Now, he doesn't have a win during that eight-start stretch, but I got to feel like that's not his fault. It doesn't help from your how you feel about Yu Darvish if you have been owning him and starting him, because wins are the most valuable thing a pitcher can give in fantasy. But he's pitching like a guy who deserves to win some. So I think he's good enough to be in lineups again.
I think this is a really interesting group, and I'm going to do a pretty massive rankings update today, but I think this is a really, really interesting group to rank rest of season.
Go for it.
I would go Gray, Ray, Darvish, and Quintana a distant fourth.
That's how I have them currently ranked. I'm tempted to put Ray ahead of Gray. And I think Darvish could be knocking on their door any moment now.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, Darvish was the player I loved in the preseason. So if I have to wait 4 months for him to be good, I'm still going to claim victory. This was the first game ever between two Grays, who spelled their name the same way, but two Grays regardless, I believe. And it was the first time since 1933 that two pitchers started against each other with the same color as a last name with the same spelling. That was Jumbo Brown versus Lloyd Brown of the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry back in 1933. So, amazing.
What is that?
Studs being studs, part three. Eduardo Rodriguez dominated the Dodgers. 10 strikeouts, 7 innings, 1 run. Marcus Stroman, I'll call him a stud. He struck out 7 Yankees, gave up 3 runs in 6 innings. Brendan McKay, Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray, I mean, 7 innings, 1 run, 9 strikeouts at Colorado. Amazing. Yonny Chirinos was also good. So we had Eduardo Rodriguez, Marcus Stroman, Brendan McKay, Sonny Gray, and Yonny Chirinos. That group, guys.
I don't have a lot to say. Like I said, I think everything I had to say about Sonny Gray last week. I'm excited about Yonny Chirinos and Brendan McKay. Marcus Stroman just kind of is what he is. The guy that's just so maddening is Eduardo Rodriguez, because you know he's going to do this on a semi-regular basis. And we should fully expect his next outing is going to be 5 innings with 5 to 6 runs allowed. I have no idea what to do with Eduardo Rodriguez, and I just mostly don't want to have him on my team because I feel like I'm always going to start him at the wrong time.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if by all the ways I evaluate pitchers, you know, I'm ignoring ERA, I'm ignoring sort of the traditional stats and just trying to assess them on the underlying stats, Eduardo Rodriguez should be great. He has an elite swinging strike rate. He had 22 swinging strikes in this start. But yeah, it doesn't back it up. Doesn't pitch with enough consistency to treat him as anything more than a fringe option. So he's kind of the outlier in this group, especially since Sonny Gray has been going deeper into games. That's really been the one issue for him this year, but seems to be turning around. Rodriguez is that a 10-4 record he has, though? Is that what that bottom number is? 10-4 record?
It's so dumb if it is.
He does. He is
Chris Sale's like 3-11.
Well, Chris Sale hasn't been good.
Chris Sale's been better than Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yeah, okay, but so they both, like, I mean, yes, that's true, but Chris Sale has not been good. Yeah, it's weird. Like,
it's annoying.
Yu Darvish cannot get a decision to save his life. Like, he never gets a decision, especially at Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
And Eduardo Rodriguez has 10 wins. That's hilarious. All right, so I think we're pretty much done. Let's talk about, like, 3 more guys. Finally, Studs Being Studs Part 4 is 2 guys. Mike Fiers and Julio Teheran. Mike Fiers. This is like 14 good starts now. This is 14 starts in a row. Or his last 14 starts, his ERA is under 250. And then Julio Teheran, it just needs to be brought up because, it's fun.
For Heath to say things that...
Who would you rather have, Heath?
Mike Fiers is better than Julio Teheran.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know. Fiers is annoying in the opposite way Eduardo Rodriguez is annoying, because by every metric I use to evaluate pitchers, apart from like ERA, he's really, really bad. XFIP over 5.
Fiers or Teheran?
Well, I guess both, but Byers, you know, Byers is averaging, I think, less than 5K per nine during this incredible quality start streak he's on. Like, he's going to get pummeled here very soon.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think hopefully tomorrow we can talk about Dallas Keuchel and Matt Boyd, who, yep, 10 more strikeouts, but 4 more runs in 7 innings. It seems like we're still like Matt Boyd quite a bit. Keuchel, making me look bad. 3 straight starts of 7 innings, or 7 1/3, combined 5 earned runs. We'll see what happens at Milwaukee this week. We'll see what happens. But
The list has gotten shorter. Do we have time to do the quick list of pitchers with a worse xFIP than Julio Teheran?
Sure.
Reynaldo Lopez, Aaron Sanchez, Mike Fiers, Trevor Richards, Sandy Alcantara, Marco Gonzalez.
Well, then you have to take back what you just said. You cannot say Mike Fiers is better than Julio Teheran. You can't do it.
You're right. We're both terrible.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. I'm sorry we didn't get to more pictures. I'll try to, I have 3 more pages of notes. I'll try to get them in tomorrow's show. For Scott and for Heath, I'm Adam. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Baseball Tonight.